welcome to Max Spoilers from InMax. I'm Ben Hansen, joined by Kyle Hilliard.
Hello.
We're here today to talk more about Star Wars with Max Spoilers, because, boy, Max Rebo really reminds me of a couple things. No, this is going to be an odd one. We're going to be spoiling something from 2012 in a format.
Oh, is it that? Oh, yeah. I didn't realize it was that old. Okay, cool, yeah. Cool.
In a format that, or a medium that I've never really talked about?
No. Listen to Andrew Reiner talk about a lot.
But, yeah, and his new podcast. That's great. But this is Court of Owls, a Batman story from 2012.
Yes.
Now, why is this relevant, Kyle?
Yeah, okay. So it is relevant because there have been teases of a new Batman game sort of like around Court of Owls.
Well, so Warner Brothers Montreal, who made Arkham Origins, so they've been trickling out teasers for a while, and the community's really put it together. Like, it seems like if it's not a full-blown Court of Owls story, it's at least they'll
be involved.
Leaning heavily. Because they're also teasing, the demons and stuff like that. So there's a couple other ingredients in there. But even, like, Scott Snyder, who's the writer for Court of Owls, he's, like, retweeting it, like, stay tuned, Warner Brothers Montreal. So there's enough, like, subtle details out there that it's like, what is this Court of Owls story? Because I remember when the New 52 came out, people were raving about it. And I was like, maybe I'll get to that someday. But I read Animal Man and read Swamp Thing and just avoided this for some reason. And now it's a mistake because I went back and just read it all last night. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's good. That tease is exciting. But for me, like, I really love Batman. Batman's my favorite comic book superhero, like with a bullet, like very easily. I don't read
a bullet to his parents.
Yeah, but not from him, mind you. But so, like, I love Batman. I don't read Batman comics regularly, but I do like to check in on, like, the big volumes. Like, I read Hush. I read, like, you know, the holiday ones, and like all the, like I read those every couple of years. And the thing about Batman is, like, there's this ongoing story, but little bits of lore will bubble to the surface and be like, this one's permanent, you know? Like you know what I mean? Like, Bruce Wayne has a kid named Damian.
Sure.
That one, that's a permanent, like, thing of Batman now.
It'll be something storytellers will pull from for a while.
Yes, and I feel like Court of Owls was the most recent one to do that, where, like, there's a lot of stuff going on with Batman, but the thing that bubbled to the surface is like, hey, this is now a permanent element of Batman's, like, long-term larger lore is Court of Owls. So it's something that I was like, okay, I will read that at some point.
And for then 8 years, you've been telling yourself.
And then when the teases came out for the game, I was like, okay, I want to figure out what Court of Owls is. So I got the sort of the two volumes that sort of set the table for Court of Owls.
Court of Owls and
City
of Owls. And so we're going to be walking through that story. We should point out, if you're watching this video on YouTube and you want to listen to it because you're looking at the time of the video and saying, my God, I don't want to sit here for this entire YouTube video. It's impossible. And it's not even gameplay to look at with this one. Anyways, you can listen to this in podcast format if you're a $5 supporter of MinMax. It's a Patreon, patreon.com/MinMax, two N's. And you support us at the $5 tier. Even just for 1 month, you get access to the full exclusive audio feed, which is filled with goodies, MinFacts, which is like our weekly Q&A, basically a bonus podcast every week. So check it out. Let us know what you think. This will be in there. Other future Max spoilers will be in there. Deepest Dives, like the one we're doing right now on Chrono Trigger. That audio will all be in there. So if you're an audio-focused person, check out that Patreon at the $5 tier. It might be up your alley. But obviously, spoilers for everything.
Yes.
And I do, more than any other Max spoilers, this is a weird thing, but like reading this, it's like, hey, if you're interested in Batman, you're looking forward to rumored, and we don't know, right? But rumored what the next
anything,
Warner Brothers game might be dealing with. Like, I recommend not watching this or listening to this and actually just going and reading it, because I think it's very good.
And you know what? Comics don't take that long to read, so.
I mean, even like the big compendium. It's like I blew through it in one day, and it was
like 2 days,
super fun.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's so, obviously comics have had a lot of time to kind of iterate on this process, but just the cliffhangers at the end of every little book in there before you get to the next splash page is like, oh man, if I had to wait a week to find out what the next chapter is, this would be awesome.
I mean, that's one of the reasons I don't actively read comics week to week, because it is such a small drip every week that it is. I do wait 6 years for the compendiums to come out.
That's one way to do it, man. Okay, so overall, what are just your high-level impressions of Court of Owls? Big takeaways.
I like it. I struggle sometimes with like Batman stories that add a lot of
coincidences,
or
just like, oh, you ever wonder what Alfred's father was up to, how he died, you know?
Like I think this does okay with that. There's a couple of coincidences that I'm like, okay, come on now, but like overall, like, I like the history. Like, it sort of, like, puts the Wayne family sort of at the crux of it as opposed to Batman himself. You know, like, the legacy of the Wayne, like, fortune and what it means to, the larger city.
Which is interesting, like, also, but, like, the Telltale Batman series also toys with as well.
Okay, yeah. But, yeah, I like it. I think it's really cool. There's a lot of really good moments. I like when Batman's back is up against the wall. Like, because the thing that's fun about Batman is he's, like, so smart and so brilliant. He can tackle anything
so
that
handsome.
Comes his way. He's so good looking.
Uh-huh.
But there are multiple points in this story where his back is, like, way up against the wall, and it's like, I don't know if he's going to make it. I mean, of course we know he's going to make it, but, like, he is damaged and hurt. And,
right.
like, it's, like, you genuinely worry about him, which is tough to do with a Batman story.
It's the most broken I've seen Batman since his back broke in half, I guess. But, yeah, specifically, we'll outline the story for everybody, too, here in a bit. But, like, let's jump right to that moment, because, like, I think the most impactful scene is after Batman just gets wrecked by the owls, just annihilated, tortured for like a week straight, right?
Yeah.
He then is like hauled back into the Batcave by Alfred, and Alfred has like basically the corpse of one of the owls like sitting in the Batcave, and Batman sees it and freaks out. And it's this awesome shot of like the reflection where you see Batman just losing and going like, no! Like, I just love seeing a super scared Batman.
Yeah, it's so
not
rare.
Not on like, you know, some crazy toxins or anything like that. Just pure fear.
Even that, I mean, that's sort of his superpower is like when he's on those scarecrow toxins is that he can see through the veneer and he knows that it's all an illusion. But this is like, there are moments in this where he's like genuinely terrified, which is cool. You don't see that much.
Hey, this might be jumping ahead again, but before we get into the nitty gritty here, what do you think the story is about? Like, zooming out, I was thinking about that a lot. Like, I'm loving this. I think I loved it more than you did, but then going through it, it's like, ultimately, what's it about in your mind?
Maybe legacy? Like,
legacy.
Batman's legacy? And
are
like,
you saying that because of Watchmen and that was the keyword for Watchmen?
No, I mean, because it's, I mean, Watchmen's legacy is like the treatment of minorities, where this is like, when I say legacy, I mean familial legacy.
Right.
Like, what the Wayne family means to Batman. And also, like, the other thing that I think it's about is that, like, Batman thinks he's got, especially after, I mean, decades of Batman stories, like, he thinks he knows Gotham. Like, he's like, I got the city on lockdown. Like, there's, I'm like putting out a lot of fires all the time, but like, I know where the fires are and I know where the fire hoses are. And this is a story where it's like, dude, you don't know. There's a lot more going on here that like you thought you had figured out that you don't.
Awesome. Especially, I mean, after Batman's been around for 80 years to have now a story that can still chart a new path and just basically be like, you think you're smart. You don't really know anything, Batman. And like, there's even little stories after the fact with Harper Row, where she also emphasizes like, yeah, Bruce Wayne thinks he knows everything. Like, he doesn't know anything about the neighborhood I live in.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Which ties into it as well. But yeah, I'm completely with you. And it made me think this might be a stretch. But hey,
let's stretch it out.
I was reading this and I was like, okay, zooming out, what is this about? It's about Batman scared about the realization that he doesn't know Gotham as well as he thinks he does.
Yeah.
The city that he loves, the city that he thinks he basically runs and owns, right?
Yeah.
But then
Gotham
also
is Batman, which is like how the story
we'll get,
begins.
We'll get to that, yeah. But then also,
oh boy.
Oh yeah. But then also, it's his fear that he doesn't know his parents as well as he thinks he does. And this is when I was like, oh, it's about the fear of knowing a loved one, but realizing that you don't know everything going on in their brain, that you don't know your loved ones as well as you think you do, which I would argue is also the core of one of the best movies from the past 10 years, Gone Girl.
Oh, sure.
Basically, the Court of Owls is the Gone Girl of comic books.
I don't think that's a stretch. And real quick, the sort of the volumes that I bought is three volumes, and the first two are Court of Owls.
Yeah.
And the third is a Joker story.
Yeah.
Which thematically continues in that sort of idea of you don't really truly know the ones you love, but you still love them and you want to care for them. You know what I mean? That's kind of what that Joker story is about. So
it's
thematically consistent, even if it's not directly connected to the Court of Owls. So I don't think that's a stretch.
Oh, good. All right, there we go. So I should read that Joker story because I just read Court of Owls and City
of Owls.
Good.
It's not directly connected to Court of Owls, but it's a good Joker story.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's walk through this stuff.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. So it opens with, I think, just here's the thing as well. I think like it's written so well. It captures the medium so well. There's a section later on we'll get to which I think is just incredibly cool and inventive. And again, I'm not a comic book connoisseur. I was tickled pink by it. But in the opening, it's all about talking about Gotham Is, which is like in the Gotham Gazette, there's like this column where people submit Gotham Is blank. And it implies that Bruce Wayne has been reading this column his entire life. Like, every morning he's reading the newspaper.
I don't think it's implied. He's like, every morning, I break out the newspaper, drag a comb across my head.
No, and so he's always, like, tracking, like, what are people saying? He's like, I always like it when people say Gotham is Batman.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Gotham is the Dark Knight. But then every once in a while people are a stinker and they write, Gotham is Two-Face. And he's like, well, I guess in a way that's true. It's kind of a duality thing, right?
The duality of man.
Yeah, or like Gotham
literally
is cursed.
Literally personified.
But that's like a nice framing device for just like trying to define Gotham, how the entire city is struggling to define what this is.
And how
is.
It wavers, too. You know, it's like it's not this consistent playground of like bad guys fighting good guys. Like sometimes it's in good shape. Most of the time it's not. But, you know.
Right, right.
And the way that Batman tracks that is by reading the Gazette every day.
Get a load of this.
Alfred, really good... you see what they're calling Gotham right now?
It's good. Chalkboard. Another one for the bat. I think he's written into it. He absolutely has. Gotham is pretty badass, comma, because of Batman.
Because of me, and then me's crossed out, Batman.
Exactly. So it opens Arkham Asylum. Mm-hmm. You see all the goodies there, all the villains you
Which
know and love.
Which is super fun. Like, but, like, it's just purely for, like, here's all the villains in this cool art style, you know? It's
for
like,
sure, and especially Two-Face. Like, his face is so decayed. It's, like, one of the darkest
looks. He punches through Clayface in that scene, right? Yeah, which is always, like, fun.
And so then it's confusing because it looks like he's fighting alongside with the Joker. And it's like, what is going on? And Alfred's even like, hey, look at that security footage. You and Joker, like, well, a hot
it was,
item here?
It was Gordon who, I think.
Oh,
said,
was it?
Right?
I'm sorry, you're right. It was
Alfred
Gordon.
Knows what's going on. He's not.
Yeah. And then Batman's like, yeah, it does look like that, huh? Then it's set up.
Bye.
That, I'll talk to you later. But then it's revealed that Nightwing has basically a Mission Impossible mask to make himself look like Joker.
Holograms, right?
I think. Right. Yeah. And so I wrote down, like, okay. Well, here's the Chekhov's gun. I can't wait for this big moment to come back. And at least throughout City of Owls, Court of Owls, it never comes back. No one ever uses the face tech again.
You know what's funny? I mean, not that Joker story even kind of plays around with the identity of like tying your identity to your literal face, and it doesn't come up in that.
Really?
Either. Yeah.
I'm sure. I think this run continues in some way. Yeah. I'm sure it's been picked up. And they're like, with the New 52, I'm sure they're just trying to, it's like a Force Awakens, right? They're trying to seed enough things to be like, oh, if we want to pick up this Mission Impossible mask scenario.
It's
in the
also,
future,
I mean, it's also good table setting for Batman's got a lot of cool toys, you know?
Then it also has a nice effect, too, where it's talking about this new tech that Batman has where you can like remotely access the Batcave and stuff through his contact lens, but then also it allows facial algorithm scanning. And so, like, on the page for the first book in particular, it'll show, like, oh, here's this person's name trying to, like, set you into exactly...
Their security levels in the Batcave.
Which is very... I love that level of detail, right?
Alfred's, like, Alfred's is the highest, right?
Of course it's the highest, right? But, yeah, so then seeing, like, okay, so he has a lot of little buddies still in this universe. So Dick Grayson is Nightwing. Okay, what do we got?
Drake is Red Robin.
Right, and then Damian Wayne is Robin.
Yeah, who's a character that I want to go... I like Damian. I think he's fun. Like, I like how cocky he is, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so then Bruce Wayne is giving a big speech talking about how he wants to invest in this city. It's a big initiative to kind of reinvent Gotham. Let's revive it. Let's bring all these aspects back.
Get some taller buildings in there.
Oh, I really crave those taller buildings. I like it in his speech. And he's like, you know, something my dad used to say is, and actually he would tell me this in interesting moments, like when I fell in a hole. It's like this weird thing. It's like, come on, Bruce. Like, what are you doing, man?
That's something that's like a little hard for me to grapple with. Of like, you learn a lot about these moments from his child. I mean, obviously he had a tough childhood, but it turns out he just kept getting stuck in rooms and falling down wells and like living down there for weeks at a time. It's like, this didn't come up at some point earlier. You didn't tell Robin about that time you got stuck in this room for a week and everyone thought you died.
Right. So what that is, just jumping ahead then a little bit for that chapter is like, it's revealed then that when he was a kid, after his parents died, he was trying to track down what's going on. And the overall theme here, the overall theme is Court of Owls. There's an old nursery rhyme that's been passed down in Gotham. Never been mentioned, but it's cool that it's there, right?
Yeah.
So it's like this thing that everybody
honestly
knows.
That's the thing that like, that was one of those like moments that I thought that was cool. Because it's like I like the idea of this sort of like rumory, gossipy Court of Owls thing sort of always being around, but like it was never a factor. It was a children's story.
It's
like
just,
in the world
it's
of
basically
Gotham,
if Hickory Dickory Dock or the Man from Nantucket had like a sinister edge
and was localized to one city. But yeah. I liked that.
It's
like
Duck Duck Gray Duck, yeah.
Actually, that's not an awful version. If you're not familiar, it's Duck Duck Goose everywhere else in the world, but here in Minnesota, we play Duck Duck Gray Duck.
And if you're not familiar, it's Duck Duck Gray Duck, but the rest of the world calls it Duck Duck Goose for some reason. I don't quite understand it.
We just repeated our own points?
Yeah, flipped it, I think.
Oh, okay.
Anyways, so there's this nursery rhyme about like, oh, court of owls, they're watching you, they're judging you,
yeah,
and the talon could come for you. You know, it's more poetic than that, but that's the basic beat. And so when Batman's parents died, he was like, oh, I'm going to need to track down these court of owls because I'm seeing hints of owls everywhere. And it led him to this house. He went there, nothing there. He accidentally locked himself in there for a week. And I think it said like went into a coma.
Yeah. Yeah,
as Alfred found him eventually.
Yeah, which I wonder. I wonder how they found him. It's not important, but like that was like this weird thing of like, oh, Batman, along with losing his parents, like shortly after he sort of went into a coma for a week because he got stuck exploring, you know?
Yeah, but I love the idea. And he even says like it's his first detective case.
Yeah.
And there's fun stuff too where then everybody, as the story's building up, because it's a big mystery overall about just like, hey, kind of seems like these are those owls that were in that nursery rhyme that everybody knows. It seems like that's who's killing people, and that's what's going on here. Batman's like, impossible.
Yeah.
I've investigated it thoroughly.
Then you find out stuck in a room for a week, and there was a dead end, so they don't exist.
Right, but he did it when he was like 8.
Yeah.
Like, just to be like, I checked that off the list.
Like,
there's no way.
The world's greatest detective, even at 8 years old.
Hey,
man.
That's true. Another thing that made me laugh with him getting close to revealing his identity was there's a moment where he's fighting on the rooftop of the Wayne Manor.
Hmm.
And he uses like the weather vane to stab an owl.
Yeah.
And the weather vane has like a big bat on it. It's like, come on, Bruce. Like, just, I know you like revealing this. And then he like, there's also a section where he's talking about like how all villains are sloppy, how they can't help but give a hint or a tease. Right.
Yeah.
And it's like, he's doing the exact same thing. It's almost like in some way, Batman's a bit of a villain, huh?
Oh, whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Anyways, so they also reveal that, in Gotham, there's the Wayne Tower, which was built by his great-great-grandfather, because the Waynes have been in the town since 1855. They go way back, right?
Yeah.
And so on the Wayne Tower, there are 12 guardians, which I was like, okay, so they're going to be 12 owls? Not necessarily. But it's just established there's this huge Wayne Tower. There's also a man running for mayor called Lincoln March. And I saw this art, and it's like, okay, clearly he's going to be the big bad because he's a huge, burly man.
Who looks kind of similar to Bruce Wayne.
It's confusing. Yeah, he really does. And so I was like, well, clearly this is coming back. Lincoln March then eventually assassinated by the owls.
Yeah.
And I had to make a note of just like, well, that's a weird dead end, but I guess they wanted to lead us a certain direction and then twist.
Yeah.
But turns out, twist again, Lincoln March is the big bad.
Yeah. But not he's not like the leader of the Court of Owls. It's not so.
So he
cut
left
and dry.
The Court of Owls, then ended
well,
up.
Well, you think you're jumping ahead a little bit. Do you want to explain what the Court of Owls ultimately is? Like,
please.
What Batman. So, I mean, ultimately, they're this like secret society that has been like sort of infecting Gotham for years to the point where like the sort of buildings that Bruce's like great grandparents built, like they Court of Owls got to him and like even. Like built in secret floors into various buildings of the city. So like the 13th floor that is often, you know, like eliminated from buildings belongs to the Court of Owls. So the idea is like they have all these little bases sort of in all these different buildings around Gotham and they run things. You know what I mean? It's very conspiracy theory, but it's like this really rich group of people who wear masks who like sort of move chess pieces around in Gotham City.
Right.
And the idea is that Batman has never really been a problem for them.
Yeah.
At least that's how I read into it. It's
sure.
Like, you know, he's not really a problem. He's doing his own thing. It's not really messing with sort of us, which is like very much a financial sort of moves around the city and keeping things under wraps and control.
Yeah.
But the moment that Bruce Wayne starts trying to sort of revitalize the city with this big investment, the Court of Owls like raises an eyebrow and they're like, okay, we got it. This guy is getting in our way. So now we got to awaken and take him out.
Right.
Is the idea.
Yeah. And I love, I mean, they do a lot of fun, cheeky stuff of tying into the concept of owls, but I love the idea of like, okay, so Alan Wayne built all these buildings around Gotham, and then because he's superstitious, he made a thin floor for the 13th floor, and the owls
it's
then
the
built
being
their
John
base.
Malkovich.
It is exactly
floor.
That. Yes. That's which I think John Malkovich was an owl. I think he was a talon at some point. But the idea that they tie it into is like, oh, it turns out owls don't make their own nests. Like, in the real world, owls, like, take over other birds' nests and stuff.
And they, like, build things out of the bones of their enemies, which is just, like, a nice sort of, like, scary metaphor for Batman fighting these ultimately faceless villains.
Right.
Like, you don't... By the end of the story, which I think is fun, like, you really don't know who the Court of Owls are. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they all wear masks. It's not, like, some established... It's not like the Riddler is like, I'm in the Court of Owls or anything. It's just, like...
yeah.
It's, like, this weird, shadowy... sinister sort of group that just stays in the shadows and like moves things around, which I think is cool.
Right. You know? And then when he starts to fight them, it's revealed that like, oh, they're regenerating health.
Yeah.
And there's a fun moment too where Batman's like, oh, wait, they regenerate health, so I don't have to pull punches anymore. Like, and actually try to kill these people because they just keep coming back from the dead. Like, let's murder these fools.
Yeah, because like they get in. Yeah. So like they have these assassins that are basically like people that they're bringing back from the dead who are like, very like they compete with Batman, which is always a tough thing of like, how do you keep up with Batman? But these guys, like, they initially attack him when he's Bruce Wayne, when he's with Lincoln March, and Bruce is kind of like, okay, can't punch too hard because otherwise Lincoln will suddenly know I'm Batman. But very quickly he's like, oh, I can't hold back, I really have to go all in on this thing, you know?
Right. And then he gets thrown out of the Wayne Tower, which
the bulletproof glass that you have to hit at the right angle.
It's very fun. I love those details. But like, seeing that, I was like, oh, was that what was at the end of Arkham City? Was that the Wayne Tower? It's like, no, that was the Wonder Tower at the end of Arkham City.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So it's a little bit confusing about how exactly this would fit in if they do adapt it, but that's not important. Yeah, I mean, you don't necessarily need the Wayne Tower. They're all different universes, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
But I'm just saying, if they wanted to inject this, like, there's a ton of question marks about how exactly they would inject this storyline into the Arkham timeline. It would most likely be after Origins. But there's something kind of fun about the idea of, you know, I know Origins was kind of like a year two time frame for Batman. And so I think some fun with this story is the fact that, like, Batman's been around for so long. Like, that's important, is him just feeling like what he thinks he knows about Gotham is not true.
Yeah.
But anyways, about, like, the faceless villains aspect, that was one of my favorite things, too, is just, like, realizing, oh, it just feels like a No Country for Old Men, or a little bit like the Terminator, of just, like, these things are unstoppable.
The talons, the assassins.
Yes, they will hunt you down, and you cannot stop them.
Yeah, I mean, and because he fights one, right? And it's, like, brutal. Like, he has a hard time with it. And this is, like, a thing that happens in like, media like this a lot that I like, where it's like, Batman had such a hard time with this one guy, and he barely gets out alive. And then it turns out the bad guys are like, oh, we've got, like, 30 of these guys.
You know, of course, that's a reveal, right, at the end of the page. Like, look at all these.
Here's a weird, like, line to draw, but, like, there's the cooler Dragon Ball movie.
That's right.
Where Vegeta and Goku try so hard to beat the robot cooler, and they finally do it, and the, like, then there's this big reveal of, like, they look over the hill and there's, like, 50 robot coolers, like, coming at them,
and that's when they lose.
And that's, like, I love that sort of, it's not uncommon, but, like, it is, like, it is genuinely scary. It's like, you had so much trouble with this one guy, and there's 30 of them. Oh my god.
But then at the same time, I keep thinking back to, like, okay, if he's not worried about killing them, surely he has something with just a bazooka. They could not survive a bazooka, right? Or at least that would hurt them. But then it's revealed that, like, the regenerating powers are hurt by the cold.
Yeah.
So, like, if you get it cold enough at some point,
it literally slows them down, right? Like, they just go into a state of, like, frozen. Yeah.
But I think one of the coolest sections of this entire book is Batman's trying to figure out, where are these owls? He's trying to piece together, like, okay, they must have come up from the sewers.
Yeah, how did the Talon, I think that's what you refer to them as, right? The Talon, that assassin, that first one they sent after Bruce Wayne, how did he get into the tower? And so Batman's like underground talking to various gangster groups and stuff, and they're like trying to, and he basically finds their, like, underground facility.
Right, which they call the Labyrinth.
Yeah.
Which is very confusing. So Batman's stuck in this labyrinth for about a week. But the part that I'm trying to understand is, there's a section where it's like a huge, it's awesome, it's all marble.
Yeah.
There's a huge owl statue, and Batman, like, goes up to it, and he's like, I can't drink the water, but I've been down here for so long, I guess I'll start drinking the water. And then I guess that leads to a little bit of hallucination, but I was always unclear if it was the water or it's just his mind was breaking from being down there so much.
I think it was breaking.
Does the labyrinth actually exist then?
Yes.
The way that we saw it?
I believe it does. Because we saw it later too, outside of Batman being there, where they wake up the other assassins.
Right.
So I think I very much believe it's a real place. The reason I don't think it's... you know, the water that he drinks is poisoned or anything, is because the whole reason he's able to get out of there is because he knows Gotham so well that he could recognize
like, the taste of the water
and where it came from. And like, right. So he knows where he is, so he's able to blow a hole out. So like, that's why I don't think it was poisoned or anything.
Right, because
he,
the importance of him drinking it.
He specifically knew, like, I have a good idea of where I am based on the taste of this water, which is like, I don't know, I'm kind of into that. Like, it's just like, it's weird, man. But it's like, hey, you know, Batman knows everything.
He's a weird dude.
But yeah, let's talk about that whole sequence more, because there's a lot more to it than just him escaping, you know?
For like, sure. Yeah. Well, I think format-wise, I want to get into it because I think it's awesome, where you're reading it and he's stuck in this labyrinth page by page, and suddenly it's like, wait a minute, okay, so the book is vertical.
Yeah, which, by the way, I was like tweeting a little bit. I was like, I want to read Court of Owls, and people were like, yeah, you can find it here. You can do you can pay $5 for like the DC app for a month. And Reiner and others were like, you should read it in print.
Oh, very smart.
Like, because, and it, although the digital version does play with perspective and stuff like that, the way the print does, like, I do appreciate that I read it in print.
Yeah.
Because
you're
reading
it. Yeah, so you're reading it, and then suddenly it's like, okay, now it's vertical. So now rotate the book.
As Batman's slowly losing his mind, the way you read the comic, like, shifts. You rotate.
Right. Yeah. And then you turn the page, and it's like, okay, now I don't know. Am I back to the normal? No, I'm actually twisting it again and then reading it. And so, like, trying to keep
track.
You
have to turn the page right to left to go forward.
It is such a smart way to put you in the mindset of Batman. It's like, I don't know which way is up. I don't know what's happening here. I don't know which way to read these pages anymore.
I haven't eaten a bat treat in, like, 5 days.
Right. And he starts hallucinating. He sees, like, an old version of his parents. And he's basically breaking down in every single way.
Yeah. And I think as he's sort of losing his mind, I think Court of Owls is like, encouraging his not medically hallucinations, but his just like lack of energy hallucinations by like they have pictures and statues and stuff in the labyrinth that he's finding. They're monitoring him with cameras and sort of pushing him in different directions. So I don't think he's hallucinating from drugs, but I think Court of Owls is like putting things in front of him to make him lose his mind even more.
He's coming this way. He's coming this way. Put it up. Get in position. Yeah. And I love like the kind of the rich leaders that the Powers family is what it eventually ends up being, right?
Yeah, which is just a part of it. I don't think it's like all under the Powers family, right? They're just one family involved.
I don't know, actually.
Yeah. I guess that's a bigger question that maybe they don't really fully answer
in this book, but they all have very spooky owl masks. And so even one of the teases is that there was like a holiday party for Warner Brothers Montreal. And like at the party, there's a picture of folks like wearing the owl masks.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's like if they aren't making Court of Owls storyline, they're very directly teasing fans with the idea that they are, right?
Yeah.
And so eventually Batman then, after he's been just drained in this labyrinth, just basically on death's door, then he has to fight a couple of these guys.
Talon, yeah.
Right.
A singular Talon, the one that he had defeated earlier who came back to
life. Is
that
right? Okay.
I think so. I could be wrong about that. Yeah.
So then he makes a mistake, escape, and then that's when he's helped by some Harper Row. It's not important. But then is revived by her. And then eventually makes his way back to the Batcave. That's when he sees like the body in there and freaks out. So that's the body in there.
Okay, so
not...
So the one that he fought underground was just a secondary Talon. So Alfred had the original Talon.
Right. And it's a lot of like – it's interesting because when he's fighting them in the labyrinth, like they get him down and then it's like, all right, get him. And then it seems like the family or like just the rich people wearing the mask to like jump on him.
Yeah.
And then he has to fight them off. And like the art just gets like more and more abstract through this entire sequence where it's just like weird versions. Like I think the cover art is like Batman like fused with an owl.
Yeah,
like,
he starts seeing himself with like these big talons. It's a really cool piece of art for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's creepy.
Yeah, for sure. So then he's like, oh, getting his ass kicked, yada, yada, yada. There's a whole storyline where Dick Grayson, his DNA was connected in some way to somebody that was murdered. It is then revealed that one of the Talons was actually Dick Grayson's great-grandfather, William Cobb.
And he was on the docket to become a Talon. Because to become a Talon, you have to train, but you're also, I think there's like chemically, in order to be revived after you die, I think you have to sort of prepare for that.
Well, this is the part I'm confusing about. So there's a little, like there's an owl symbol that people have in their teeth, and that like seeps the chemical throughout their life into their body so that when they die, they can be revived by the spark from the Court of Owls. And so it turns out Dick Grayson had that in his mouth. And that the circus was like
training grounds, right? For like,
right. It was a bit of a talent agency.
Oh, there you go, nice.
But I'm confused about it because like he seems shocked by that, and Batman like punches the tooth out of his mouth. But like, wouldn't you remember having like this owl thing in his mouth?
They put it in there when he was a child, maybe. But like,
you'd remember that?
Not necessarily. If you're really young, I mean,
well, when your baby teeth fall out,
I guess. But that honestly, like. I like Court of Owls a lot. This is the one sort of coincidence that I sort of rolled my eyes at.
Yeah.
And like, and maybe it comes back up later in the future, but at least in the context of these two volumes, mm-hmm. it's not really a major factor on the story. The fact that Dick Grayson was in line to become a Talon with the Court of Owls. Like, it's just like, it's one of those sort of, it's just too coincidental. Like, I don't know. It just bugged me. Like, that was
made
like,
the universe smaller is a better way to put
yeah,
it, right?
You know what? Yeah, that's the thing. Like, and I like, I think there's room for Batman's universe to be so big that was like the, that was maybe the one moment in the whole thing that I was kind of like, this just feels like too small, too much.
But they want to involve Dick Grayson in some way because it's, you know, like a lot of Batman stories, it's Alfred and Dick looking at Batman being like, oh boy, like you're pushing it too far. Like this is not good. There's some moment which I liked where it's revealed that Alfred's been like drugging Batman with like
with
medicinal
sleeping medicine. Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right. And Dick's like, holy crap, like how much are you giving this guy? And
Alfred's like, I don't know for an elephant at this point, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Also at some point then it's also revealed, and this was disturbing on a weird level, but Batman becomes Alfred reveals that Alan Wayne that he towards the end of his life became obsessed with owls and became really paranoid.
This is the great-great-grandfather,
so I believe.
Grandfather, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah,
and
yeah.
So then,
like seeing owls everywhere, like kind of like crazy.
They think it's dementia,
I mean?
At
dementia
at the end of his life,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, but he died falling into a manhole, which is a fine way to die, I guess. I hope I don't go that way. And so then at a certain point, Batman's like, Alfred, let's dig up the grave of my great-great-grandfather here. And yeah. Then there's a scene where like Dick goes into the Batcave and Batman's just like holding the skull and like investigating his great-great-grandfather's corpse. Like, this is one of the darkest things I've seen Batman do. He's like, yeah, I gotta mess with the skull of my great-great-grandfather to figure out like how he died and how connected he was to this. And it turns out he was riddled with little knives because the Court of Owls, they throw knives.
That's how they kill
it's their
people.
Big thing. Which,
yeah.
Odd move.
Yeah, but
it's like a bunch
unique,
of little talons.
You know?
I guess it's
but
unique.
Yeah, I guess if you want to, that's sort of like look backward into Batman's like family like that
yeah.
I liked like I thought mm-hmm. that was cool to see like the legacy of the Waynes and it made a lot of sense that the Court of Owls would be so like invested in the Wayne family
right
for you know for worse you know in a negative way and so I liked that element of it because it's always a little tricky of like let's look into Batman's past and oh my gosh his parents were actually knew the Joker personally and it's like
yeah.
I mean that doesn't happen that much anymore but like that was an occasion where I liked it and thought it was cool you know
yeah and I like just the little details too like okay they bought Wayne Manor in 1855, but they couldn't move in because there was a bat infestation like in the cave surrounding Wayne Manor. So then they unleashed like a tiger owl, like a bunch of tiger owls, and then they cleared out all the bats, right?
Yeah.
Like those types of like little lore things, like, oh, that's like a nice subtle thing that's not too beating you over the head. Just maybe they're like, oh, we can't move in. There's too many bats in this house.
And then they all winked at each other violently. but yeah, and then there's the little detail of like the bats. You know, they couldn't totally wipe out the sort of population of the bats that were infesting the caves below the manor. And they eventually came back once the owls left, you know, which is like the ebb and flow of the, you know, Batman versus the Court of Owls as we move forward.
Right.
Maybe, you know?
And it's very clear like where this whole story I'd imagine came from, which is just like, all right, well, Batman could use a new villain. What's a bat's enemy?
Yeah.
Oh, owls. Like, it's amazing that it hasn't been touched upon.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's cool. Like, I like that element of it. Like, it adds that fun layer to that sort of confrontation, you know?
Yeah. Do you think if I looked up on YouTube, though, I could find video of an owl eating a bat? Do you think that's, like, common enough?
Let's do it.
YouTube owl.
Owl eating bat.
Triple X.
Oh, the result says this was made up for the Batman Court of Owls comic. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it turns out there's a ton of
owl
footage.
Goes after bat. So this is the B-roll you're going to put on top of our
I don't
discussion.
Know what else it would be. Yeah.
Oh, cell phone, vertical cell phone footage. Okay.
Okay.
I do. It's like that thing I don't think about because like I sort of think of owls as these stoic intellectuals, you know, in the world of like anthropomorphizing animals.
They
you
love
think of
Tootsie
owls,
Pops.
You think of owls as smart, gentle creatures. But like I like the sort of the touch of like, oh, but owls are mean and they like steal people's nests and use bones to build their nests and kill bats and kill mice, you know? And
no, Bruce Wayne, owls are mean. So there's a moment then where the assassins, the owls, the talons, however you want to refer to them, that they invade Bruce Wayne's manor, which is like the big moment of like, oh, you had a tough time with one of them. Now here's a ton of them and they're everywhere.
And they're
they are
mad.
Yes, they eventually get into the Batcave as well. They have to, like, Alfred and Batman like lock themselves in like the vault,
yeah.
which is cool that they have that in the Batcave, right? Just drastically trying to figure out how do we do this. At some point, Alfred actually tips the penny over on one of them to kill them, which I think is a cool touch.
Yeah.
Batman, I was confused with this, has like a remote control for his dinosaur so he can like use it to step on one. I was so confused about what he was doing and like what his party trick that they said was with the giant dinosaur in the Batcave.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess there's for the new 52, they're like, we got to use this penny and this dinosaur, man. They can't just be there for no reason, you guys.
It's too silly. So then it's like, okay, we lock ourselves in this little room. Now let's drop the temperature in the cave because that's the one thing that'll stop them from regenerating and hurt them, right?
Turn that AC up, baby.
That's right. And so apparently Alfred has the capability of like making it negative 40 degrees in the Batcave at any moment.
It's one of those things that's like anything can happen in the Batcave. Like
right.
literally anything can be in there and anything can happen. And it's like, I'm cool with it because the whole idea is Batman is prepared for anything. And where else would he be more prepared than in his own Batcave?
Right.
You know, so it's like, I didn't even question it. It's like, yeah, of course he can make it below Arctic temperatures inside the Batcave. Yeah, why wouldn't Batman be able to do that?
I've got a way of staying warm. And then he breaks out of the little vault and he's got like a huge mechanized suit. And I'm like, finally, now he can just annihilate these guys.
He can just punch people to death.
Yes, but even then, like he has a tough time taking on this giant horde of assassins, even in his giant mechanical suit where he's trying to do as much damage as possible. And then the temperature drops so low that eventually the bats, which is very fun, that are still technically in the Batcave are like triggered and they are trying to flee the Batcave. And so all the living bats in the cave are flying through. It kind of looks like they're attacking the owls, of course. It's like poetry. It rhymes. And then the owls escape because it's too cold, all that stuff. And then Batman...
It's too cold. It's like the basement of Min-Max Studio.
Yes, that's exactly right. So then Batman is... They have the list of all the people that the Court of Owls are trying to assassinate. And it's all the people who are basically trying to reinvent Gotham in
politicians,
some way.
You know... Yeah, people like that.
And there's a cool scene, it's very Order 66, where it just shows like the assassins like killing all these lower level
or like
politicians.
The Dark Knight,
I guess so.
Where all the Joker's killing everybody.
Yeah, I guess so. So then they're also like the Knights of Ren. Let's keep making analogies. They're just like this cool herd.
It's montage like, of people getting murdered. You know, it's fun.
No, but it's like a cool herd moving around.
Yes,
except cooler than the Knights of Ren. Anyways, so then he makes his way to Lincoln Marches. Apartment or house, and he's dying. He's like, here's a list of people who I think might be responsible.
Mm.
And so Lincoln March is dead. He's running for mayor, but I guess that's it. There it is. So then Batman's like, I think I know where to go here. And he goes back to where he went as a kid.
Yeah, and his investigation was like this building by a dock that had this like secret room that as when he was a kid, it just like he went to the room and it didn't find anything. It was completely unused. It was super dusty and old. But he goes here now and they're meeting there, right?
Right. Well, he finds like all the corpses there. Like somebody killed the actual
court
or like some of the rich, weird, eyes wide shut people with the masks.
Yeah, but even that early, it's pretty clear that's like, this is not the full Court of Owls. Like, there's a lot more.
Right.
There are more of these folks. You know, there's more masks. They can manufacture them pretty easily. So,
yeah. And then we get the person who actually killed all the owls, and it turns out it is Lincoln March, it seems like, who used to be an owl. But a Talon and then has turned on them in some way. And he's like pulling strings all different directions. And Batman finally pieces it together. But there's very fun owl stuff as well. This is like as cheesy as I think this book gets, where Lincoln March's like, who am I? Who? I'm asking it like an owl. Who?
How many links to the center of my
He just keeps saying who. And then the big reveal that he basically shoves down Batman's throat, even though Batman's like, I'm not into this. I don't think it's real.
Yeah.
Is he says, Lincoln March was obviously just a name made up. My real name is Thomas Wayne Jr.
Yeah.
I'm your brother.
Oh, also, by the way, let's jump back in time real quick to when your mother got in a car accident and lost your younger brother, which is another one of those things that's like, it's a little tricky going into Batman's childhood to see all these things that happened in the short time he had with his parents. But they add to the lore that there was a car accident while his mother was pregnant with his potential sibling.
And Bruce was like 3, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. And so they think that like, because of the car accident that Martha Wayne was in, she lost the child. But then Thomas says, no, actually, she just had me submitted to this children's hospital because I was born premature and I wasn't doing well and I couldn't open my eyes. I couldn't see. I couldn't speak. All this stuff. He basically had a tortured upbringing.
Yeah.
And Batman's like, well, that's impossible. My parents were rich. They wouldn't put you to that super crappy children's hospital. He's like, no, it was super nice. And then when your parents died, they lost all the funding. And then it became a crap hole that literally developed a sinkhole and sucked everything into it, right?
Yeah. And then, the idea of, like, the car accident. The whole idea of the car accident is that it was the Court of Owls.
Yeah.
Who made it happen because the Waynes were, you know, doing stuff they didn't want them to do.
Right.
And we learn about that through a letter written by Alfred's father.
Yeah.
About why he kind of blames himself for the car accident and why everything happened. And the idea, and get like, tell me if you think this is true too, Alfred never got that letter. Right?
No, it's subtle, but it looks like it was burned.
Yeah.
But the core of the letter is Alfred's dad being like, hey, the Waynes are cursed. Don't come here, because he was involved with the whole idea of like getting the phone call from the Owls.
Yeah. They said, you need to bring Martha Wayne to the dock, and Alfred's, who I can't remember his name, but like Alfred's father was like, I'm not doing that. And
Jarvis.
Yeah. And the idea is that because he didn't do what they asked, they came after them directly and caused a car accident.
Right.
You know?
And I like that at some point too, there's a reference to like, oh, the Owls have been killing these people. They've been killing Waynes for so long. But no, actually, your parents were just killed in Crime Alley. Like, I like that they don't go the full distance to be like, and then also the Owls killed your parents, which would have been a very
easy
move. I would
have been bummed
about
that.
Right?
Yeah, that would have been... That would have been lame, I think.
Joe Chills is wearing the owl mask. Who do you think
I
am?
Hold on, I gotta take this off before I go grab her pearls.
Gotta get those pearls. And so Batman is not buying it. I like them toying with the idea of him being like, this is just a story. Like, the Court of Owls found you in the children's hospital and told you all this, and you believe that it's true.
Yes.
And he's like, well, no, because I heard who I now realize was my mother, even though I couldn't open my eyes and I couldn't speak, like, talking to me. And you know, Bruce Wayne's like, well, no, like my mom would visit the children's hospital because she was partly funding it. So I like that it's a little bit ambiguous about whether or not that is actually his brother.
Again,
I'm sure at this point in comics continuity, it has been made very clear that it probably is, but
is
I
not,
like the
yeah.
ambiguity.
But yeah, I really appreciated that because I think I would have been bummed if it's like Batman has a secret brother, you know, who's a villain. Like, I just
well, that is the
I know, but like, but the fact that it's not so cut and dry, I was thankful for. You know,
right.
I like that Batman's like, I don't think he is. I think he thinks he is. I think his truth is that he thinks he's my brother. But I just this doesn't make sense. Like, I like the ambiguous backstory of. I guess Thomas Wayne Jr. is like his real name. Whether he's actually Thomas Wayne's son is up in the air. But like, I like that. It's like, I appreciate it because it's still from like a plot perspective. It's still functionally like the villain still has that crazy motivation of like feeling like he, you know, Liquid Snake, like that his brother got the life that he should have gotten. Like that is that villain's...
I got all the flawed owl genes.
Yeah, like that. I think that works well. That's his truth. That is what that villain believes. But I like the idea that Batman is pretty sure that that's not true.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter because that's what he believes.
Well,
I like that from a plot perspective.
Right.
Because
it ties into like, I can't believe that's true because then my parents, who I've just put on
worshipped,
this pedestal,
yeah,
that they were lying to me and never revealed this entire time. So he's like, I can't have it be true because it would then hurt the legacy.
Yeah, which I like. I like that ending. Like, I think that's cool. I like that it's left up. Oh, yeah, he defeats him, by the way. Did we touch on
that?
Well,
not only that. So then...
we kind of skipped over that.
Yeah, Thomas Wayne Jr., he's like, okay, well, now comes the cool moment. And so he puts on, like, this sweet-looking owl man
the Talon suit 2.0, the one that he didn't give to the underling Talons.
That's right, and it can fly. And so he... has Batman by the grappling hook and he's flying through Gotham, which is very cool.
Yeah.
This is one of my favorite things. It's just villain monologuing, but it's a cool way to do it where he's just flying by all these things. Like, here's what you didn't realize about this. Here's what you didn't realize about this. Here's my perspective of seeing, you know, Wayne Tower and all these things.
Yeah, yeah. It was looming where you saw it as like a beacon of hope. You know,
right. And then he flies up to a jet. And as the plane's flying...
Is it a jet or dirigible? It's a jet, right?
Dirigible. Yeah, no, it's an airplane. Yeah, with like passengers like looking out the window, like, remember, 3,000 feet
style. Something on the wing.
Yeah, it's Batman. It's not a Nightwing. Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, so then it's literally like the Incredibles...
Puts the headphones back on. I'll just finish this movie. It'll be fine.
But it's like the Incredibles with the no capes thing, where they're like going to drop...
You can't not think of that.
Yeah,
you know,
so he's trying to drop Batman into the engine of this thing, which is very sweet. Batman secretly... much like Bon Voyage, secretly put a bomb on him. And so Owlman, if you want to call him that, explodes. And then Batman's falling down. And in a scene that is very much like Spider-Verse, where it's like, remember like the falling down to the city shot? Where it's like, it's Batman falling down to Gotham. And it's like, oh, my city comes up and embraces me.
Yeah.
Sweet kiss. and then at the end of this, Batman realizes that Gotham isn't Batman. Gotham is all of us. So it's he learned to check his ego a little bit at the end of the story, right?
Yeah, which was also the metaphor of the sinkhole in the hospital, right? There could be the tiniest little thing wrong that can turn into, can kind of blow up into this larger problem, you know, and you're not going to be able to see it all. Like, you're just not, you know?
Yes, I love, those are one of my favorite lines too, where, God, I forget who is saying it. At some point, somebody's talking to Batman. It's like, yeah, you've been so focused with so many tiny problems with Gotham, like, you missed the very obvious thing right in your face that there are the Court of Owls running everything.
You're too busy fighting guys with metal like stuck on their face.
Right. Yeah. What was that? I don't know. A magnet that works? So then the ending is left ambiguous, right? Where Alfred's like, he's like, oh, well, I know you're going to hunt down the facts to try and figure out exactly what's going on and if this was Thomas Wayne Jr., but even if you find the facts, I don't know how much that'll change. And Batman's like, yeah, even if I find those facts, like, the truth to me is that my brother is dead and that this doesn't exist.
And it also totally leaves it open for more Court of Owls shenanigans. Like, they're still around. He did not defeat the Court of Owls.
Right.
This story is him discovering they exist, basically.
Yeah, and them rocking him. But now, would he want to tell everybody?
Like a hurricane.
Could he be like, hey, Gordon, just write a letter to everybody to let them know that this nursery rhyme is real and that we need to actually get rid of these freaks in your houses?
If you see, like, an owl, just let me know. Like, don't worry, but just be like, I saw an owl. Just send me that text message. You know, that'd be great. I'd appreciate that. Right.
And then at the end of City of Owls, they include additional stories from the writer and the artist, which is like, oh, here's Mr. Freeze origin and here's some Harper Row stuff.
Which I guess is like, they're just trying to establish some new starting lines for these characters
So like, it's a fun twist with the Mr. Freeze storyline where, like, oh, he's obviously in love with Nora, he's trying to revive Nora, but then the twist, as far as I understand it, this hasn't been established before, is that like, Batman knows, like, this is effed up because I know that you don't even know Nora. Nora's died in like 1923 and she was frozen back then, and you just fell in love with like this corpse. Like, she has no consent.
Just obsessed with
Which I think is really cool.
Yeah, it's the plot of the movie Passengers.
Is it really?
I think so. I haven't seen that movie.
But spoilers for Passengers.
But that is, it's funny because we were joking before we even started. It's like, you read Court of Owls, here's a little Mr. Freeze story. And it's like, okay, I don't know what bearing this has on everything. But it is a cool idea. Because, like, the thing that the Batman the Animated Series did so well is humanize a lot of the villains of the Batman universe. And Mr. Freeze is, like, the one that everyone points to because that idea of him, you know, like,
Nora, my sweet Nora.
Yeah, like, that kind of, like, got popularized in the Batman the Animated Series. But I like that this looks at that again and, like sort of dehumanizes Freeze a little bit and just makes him this, like, obsessed person, which is interesting and cool and dark. It really darkens Mr. Freeze when he's been pretty sympathetic for the last couple decades.
Interesting. Yeah. And the connection that they do make to the Court of Owls is, like, the regenerating tech, the cooling tech came from Freeze. Like, Freeze coordinated with the owls in some way. Right?
That is the direct line, I suppose, why that story is there. But it's a smaller element of the larger thing. So.
It's pretty wild that they haven't made this into an animated film at this point.
Yeah, don't you think? I guess they're still making their way through, like, the other classics. Like, they just did Hush, which is like an older comic.
And you said you didn't like the animated version?
No, I couldn't even finish it.
That's sad.
I'll bring it to you if you want to watch it.
I think I'm good. I've never read Hush.
I like Hush. Not to dive too deep into Hush, but the thing that's fun about Hush is it's like everyone's involved in Hush. Every villain that, you know, Superman's here, Poison Ivy's here.
I don't think that's a good thing. I like a nice focus story.
It's fun for that reason. And you get Jim Lee's art, which is great. It's just an excuse for them to draw everybody, and it does have a fun. The story is fun. There's fun twists. It's got a good ending. Like,
okay,
I enjoy Hush, but. I bet this one's on the docket for becoming like an animated sort of
version. Or maybe
they're
saving it for the Warner Brothers game.
Yeah.
So what's your best? Make your prediction right now. Do you think Court of Owls will be the primary storyline, or just it'll be like, oh, we're telling a story, there's going to be some larger threat, but at the same time, like, you're going to be fighting Court of Owls along the way?
I'm going to go and say I think it will be a major part because I think it fits so well into a Batman video game story because you have all the assassins you can go after, which is like, I've even seen people say that maybe it'll have a little bit of a, what is it, the nemesis? Is that what it's called in Lord of the Rings? Like, it could have that sort of angle of like these, there's a group of like identified named villains who, you know, by the way, when you defeat them, there's actually like, fiction, there's context for why they could come back and keep fighting after you, which like works well in a video game. And also, I just like It just, in terms of a video game, I think the Court of Owls being the main villain is interesting because they're so shadowy and sort of have their, you know, they're everywhere. Where if it's like another Joker story, it's like that's a single villain who has his single plan. But Court of Owls can like be anywhere. So like, I'm gonna say that Court of Owls will be a major part because I would like to see that. I think it's a good villain and a good story for a Batman video game.
Do you feel like now that you've read it and so much of it is the mystery that it'll be less impactful?
I don't know. I because the thing about it is like when I play games based on comics or watch movies based on comics, I do sometimes regret like not having at least the context for who these characters are.
Right.
And I feel like even if the story follows similar beats, like it's not going to be a one to one. And I like just having the baseline of like, oh, this is what Court of Owls is in the comic.
Yeah.
You know, I like that. I don't think it will sort of make it less impactful. At least I hope it doesn't. You know,
I can't wait for all those Detective Vision sequences where you're trying to find the owl's secret homes, like piece. And there's going to be some weird puzzle stuff about figuring out, okay, go to this building, but then there's a secret entrance on this side. If you pay attention, this schematic doesn't line up with the way the building actually looks.
Yes, yeah, it'll be a lot to that 13th floor, and you have to stay in crouched position as you walk through there.
All right, hey, that's it for Court of Owls.
Yeah,
it's cool. It's a good primer for you going into this if you never would have read it. But again, even if you know everything, I still recommend reading it. I think it was really great.
It's like I said earlier, like when we started this, it feels like a core element of Batman's story now. You know what I mean? Where not every Batman comic has things that change the course of Batman or really genuinely add new elements and like new content to that universe.
Mm-hmm.
But like Court of Owls is here to stay in the same way that like Damian is like a core element of Batman now.
Right.
Batman, Bruce Wayne, he has a son and he's part of his team. And that's forever and always. I think Court of Owls will always be a threat to Batman now in the same way that Joker and Two-Face are always a threat to Batman.
Yeah, and it's really amazing that the writer was able to pull this off in DC in general.
Yeah.
I mean, just to add something new that is so captivating.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, super strong start. Cool. Well, hey, now the door's wide open for max spoilers and anything. Now that we've done something that's older.
Yeah.
I watched Bull Durham for the first time yesterday. You want to cover that?
I have not seen that, so
okay.
I'll listen to it if you want to record it.
Okay, yeah, I'll just monologue max spoilers for Bull Durham.
We just go through our Netflix queue and be like, I don't know, I watched this old movie recently. I don't know, that stuff's fun though.
That is fun. All right, thanks so much for watching or listening, everybody. If you enjoyed this video version, you want to check out our Patreon, we recommend it. Patreon.com/minmax2ends, tons of exclusive stuff there. Find out what tier works for you. There's bonuses along the way, including at any level you get access to the Discord, which is the only Shangri-La on the internet.
We found it, we created it.
Cool. Thanks for watching, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Bye.